Matthew chapter 6. If you can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We're in a series called Teach Us to Pray. Teach Us to Pray. And I confess, as I've been going through this, I just have been just enjoying. I've never really worked through in a deep way the Lord's Prayer. And there's so many things that pop out at me as I'm going through this that I can kind of get distracted a little bit from why it is that Jesus has us talking about teaching us to pray. Like the reason why God has us going through the Lord's Prayer is so that we would learn how to pray. So I'm just going to revisit what we've talked about so far. So Jesus starts out with telling us not to pray like the hypocrites or the pagans. And why does he do that? Because he wants us to get a fresh perspective on prayer. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to say, let me set the precedent for how it is that you pray. To get rid of any preconceived notion of what prayer is or what the world says prayer is. And then with the slate wiped clean, we can approach God. And we see in verse 9 that he is first our Father. He's first our Father. And so that means that he is approachable, as every earthly father should be approachable to their child. I say should. Doesn't mean it always happens. That we can approach him when we approach him in Christ, as Ephesians 3 and verse 12 says, in him, meaning in Jesus, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Praise God for that. And then as we approach him, we begin to get a picture of what our Heavenly Father is like. We get a picture of all of this worship, his glorious throne in heaven, and him sitting on this throne, and just the awe, the wonder of who God is, and then all of heaven worshiping him. You have the angels, you have the saints, you have the elders bowing down, you have these creatures crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And with all that going on, Alex, he still says, hey, I want you to come to me. Come to me. Come and talk with me. He still wants each one of us to come to him and talk to him in prayer. He beckons us to him. And when we come to him and we come before him in his presence, we recognize that he has every need that we have met. His name is most holy because he is holy. His name represents all that he is. Every one of us, last week we talked about what need was it that brought you to the Lord to begin with. For one, it was salvation. That's the one need he meets for everybody. But he's got a lot of other ways to meet every single one of your needs. And he wants us to come to him. He wants us to come to him in prayer and ask for those things. And so the first segment of the Lord's Prayer we finished on last week, when we pray, we acknowledge who we are praying to. And that's important because it gives us the right perspective. When we take our eyes off of all of the stuff that's happening around us, all of these things, and we put our eyes on him, all of this pales in comparison to who and how amazing and how awesome our God is. Amen? And so with that, we can say, we don't need to tell God how big our problems are, but we need to tell our problems how big our God is. Amen? That's the right perspective that we come. The one who can say, who is able to accomplish immeasurably more than what we could ever ask or imagine. The infinite resources of our God. Hallelujah. And with that perspective, we begin to offer up our requests. So let's read the Lord's Prayer together. And I need a volunteer today. I think Madeline raised your hand first. Do you have NIV today? Let's do a different one other than NIV. What do you have? NIV? Okay. You grab Mariah's Bible. And let's read Matthew 6, 9 through 13.
This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. May what you want to happen be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins just as we also have forgiven those who sin against us. Keep us from sinning when we are tempted. Save us from the evil one. Forgive other people when they sin against you.
Is that 13? Oh. Stopped at 13.
Oh, yeah.
You're good. Yep, thank you. Thank you very much. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, I know we keep reading the same scripture each week as we go through the Lord's Prayer, but I thank you that every single week you can speak something new to us. Every single day as we read your word, you can speak new things to us. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would use this time, God, that we get to be together today to unpack what you want to unpack into our hearts, that our hearts may be full of what it is that you want to do in them, that we would leave no room for anything else except for your will to be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Title of the message today is Your Kingdom Come. Your Kingdom Come. As Jesus finishes the first segment of the Lord's Prayer, when we acknowledge who it is that we're praying to, the very first thing that he prays about is not someone's prayer request. It's not someone's prayer request, but rather something that for a change in the status quo of the world that we live in, our environment, our atmosphere around us. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Let's look at those three words real quickly. Your. Your means that which is not mine, right? If it's yours, it's not mine. I tell my wife and Jess sometimes when our kids do something kind of crazy, and I'd say, Kelly, look what your child just did. Not my child, but your child. Look at what your child just did. So what's mine or what's yours is not mine. Kingdom. Kingdom is a realm. It's a realm. We would understand it to be like a region or a country governed by a king. And that word come, as I think of, is it the Muppets? Is it Grover? When he goes, near? Far? Near? You're praying the kingdom come. But we're praying by that saying, may that kingdom that doesn't belong to us come to be the kingdom of the world. That's what we're praying when we pray, your kingdom come. So let's talk about what's this kingdom about? We're praying for this kingdom to come. What's this kingdom about? Jesus said in John 18 and verse 36, as he stood on trial before Governor Pilate, before he was crucified, he said this in verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. So this kingdom that we are praying to come is unlike any kingdom that we have ever, ever seen on earth. This is not from the earth. It's not just a kingdom on the other side of the planet. It's not from the earth, but it's from somewhere else. From somewhere else. Daniel 4 in verse 3. King Nebuchadnezzar, he's king of all of Babylon. He conquers Jerusalem and Judah, brings the exiles back, and as a result begins to experience this Most High God that we're talking about today. And he says this of God's kingdom. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. The point is, the kingdom that we are praying to come is one that will last forever, with a king that will endure through all generations. Kingdoms of the earth come and go. Rulers come and go. But this kingdom of heaven is an eternal one, lasting forever, with the same king ruling over it from generation to generation. And guess what? That king is also our Heavenly Father. Yeah. As God our Father is spirit, his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And one of the ways that his kingdom advances, just one of the ways, is that each time a sinner repents and turns to God, his kingdom advances. And when that happens, their citizenship changes. From one of this world, the nation that they were born into, to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You could say you were naturalized, supernaturalized into the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And as Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. You may think being an American is pretty great. An American citizen is pretty great. Or maybe you used to think that, right? But citizenship in the kingdom of heaven far exceeds any citizenship on this earth. Understand this. Before a follower of Christ is an American, he is first a Christian. He is first a Christian, a citizen of God's kingdom. Sometimes we get those backward in priority. Sometimes we get them backward in priority. We think that we are Americans who are also Christians, but really, we are Christians who just happen to be Americans, right? Yeah. And I may step on some toes here a little bit, But instead of praying that that our nation or any other nation would become a Christian nation, how about we pray, your kingdom come? How about we pray that first? So what's this kingdom look like? We're praying this kingdom. It's a different kingdom. It's not of this world. You know, it's an eternal kingdom. There's an eternal king over the kingdom. What is this kingdom going to look like? Well, Jesus talks about a lot of different things about this kingdom, what it's going to look like. And so I'm just going to talk about a few of them today. But he describes a lot of times the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, which are synonymous with one another, depending on if you're talking to a Jewish or Gentile audience. But the kingdom of heaven, he says in Matthew 13, verse 44, that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field or a pearl of very great price, where one would sell everything that they have to go and have this kingdom, go and have this treasure. Okay, it's something that's of greater value than anything else we could own. It's like a mustard seed, Jesus said in Mark 4 and verse 30. A mustard seed that, although it's a very small seed, when it's planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants with such big branches that birds can perch in its shade. What does that mean? What does the kingdom of heaven have to do with a mustard seed? This is what God showed me. It says, for a new believer, so entering into the kingdom of heaven, a new believer now in the kingdom of heaven, their citizenship is in heaven. That kingdom influence is a very small part to begin with. But as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, as he grows us in maturity, as he shows his kingdom to us, that kingdom, which was small, started out small in our lives, becomes bigger and bigger and bigger to the point that it's the thing that influences us the most beyond anything else in our lives. The parable says the kingdom of heaven will become the largest of all the garden plants. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 16, I believe, that the last will be first and the first will be last. So this kingdom of heaven is backwards from what we see in the world today, most times. It's not what we're used to seeing around us. This kingdom is different. It looks backwards to the world, but it's the front way to the Lord. Amen? And it's where we're headed to. If you don't like what's happening in the world, pray his kingdom come. Pray his kingdom come. It's a place where in Matthew 22, verse 1, Jesus is starting to talk about a parable of the banquet and inviting all these people in so that his house may be full. And it's a picture of everyone, whether great or not so great, rich or poor, well-to-do or not, where everybody that has a willing heart to follow Jesus, no matter what their status, can come into the kingdom of heaven. And praise God for that. Yes. It's not a country club or a place only for the elite. It's not a movie premiere that only the well-to-doers are allowed to go to. But any person, great or small, old or young, rich or poor, who's made the decision to follow Jesus, that's who we're going to find in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. Jesus compared it to in the parable of the merciful servant in Matthew 18, verse 21. He talks about this unmerciful servant, but there was a king that gave this servant mercy. The picture of that is, in the kingdom of heaven, there is true forgiveness. We can experience true forgiveness where the debtor is completely set free. Never is anything held against that person again. Amen? That's a picture of the kingdom of heaven. It's one day, it's a place where one day every follower of Christ will get to sit down with all the saints that have gone before us at this big marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll get to sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus talks about in Matthew 8 and verse 11. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a really great place to be, the kingdom of heaven. So what does it mean then to pray your kingdom come? What does it mean? We talked about what the kingdom looks like, but what does it mean to us? When we pray your kingdom come, it means that we're praying that our own kingdoms would not succeed. Our own kingdoms that are built on the sand. Our own kingdoms of accomplishments and achievements and success and possessions and all the things that we would try to amass around us. All the while the tide is rising, right? We're praying. When we pray your kingdom come, we pray that our own kingdoms would not succeed. We pray that when we pray your kingdom come, we pray that every right that we have to ourselves would be crucified. That I am crucified with Christ and yet I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives within me. We give up the right to ourselves, our entitlement, especially as Americans, that what we think that we deserve, we give that up when we pray your kingdom come. We pray that life as we know it in this world would be different than what we see right now when we pray your kingdom come. Let me ask you, are you still willing to pray your kingdom come? All right then, I'm in the right room today, that's good. The Pharisees asked this question of Jesus in Luke 17, verse 20. They said, once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst, or is within you. That Greek phrase there, in your midst, is the word entos, and it means not mentos, but entos. Just take the M off and you got entos. It means inside or within. What does that mean? What does that mean? It's not a physical kingdom like the Jewish people of the day were looking for it to be when Jesus walked this earth. Liberation from Roman rule. In fact, they said in Acts 1, verse 6, after Jesus rose from the dead, before he ascended to heaven, they asked him, are you at this time going to restore the nation to Israel? They're still looking for that liberation from Rome. But his kingdom comes to us when we invite Jesus to be the Lord and the Savior of our lives. And at that point, we have access to the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, his sacrifice. The Old Testament priests, they had to offer sacrifices again and again and again and again, sacrificing animals, because they had to keep atoning for the sins that would not ever take fully away the mark of sin in our lives. Not a single one. They had to keep doing it again and again. But when Jesus came, the perfect sacrifice, when he came in our flesh, lived a sinless life, and then died for us, letting his blood spill out. His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It makes us free from all that stuff. And we are then in Christ, as Christ is then in us. And so we are in the kingdom of heaven because we are in Christ who is in the kingdom of heaven. Follow me? Okay. And therefore, wherever we go, we bring God's kingdom. We bring God's kingdom. You think about an American in another country, and the people in that country, they look at that American and they say, oh, that's an American. They can tell, you know, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. We bring that American entitlement spirit, I deserve this and I deserve that, you know. But instead, when people look at a believer as a follower of Christ, they say, oh, that's a Christian. That's a Christian. They see the principles of the kingdom of heaven lived out in our lives. They recognize the Holy Spirit working in us, causing us to give up every right to ourselves, causing us to cast down that entitlement, that I deserve this, I deserve that. Our focus is not on possessions and material wealth and accumulation of those things, but we end up starting to do things that are a little backwards. That's what we hear about these stories of hope on the radio or on the TV. When someone does something that's out of the ordinary, we're like, wow, what caused them to do that? The kingdom of heaven is in your midst. But even though we can be in the kingdom of heaven, we still choose whether or not we're going to operate out of those kingdom mentalities. We still get that choice. Given every situation, every circumstance that comes into our lives, maybe sometimes, yes, we're operating in the kingdom of heaven, and I'm willing to give that, and I'm willing to pray for that person, and I'm willing to love on that person. And other times, they're like, no. I'm going to cross on the other side of the road. I can't help that person. Nope, I'm not going to stop alongside the road. I'm not going to forgive them. You know what they did to me? More than once. Nope, not going to forgive them. I'm not going to let that go. We can choose what kingdom we are operating out of. We have access, though, to the kingdom of heaven. We have the ability through Jesus Christ to operate out of that kingdom. So we pray his kingdom comes in us individually when we first give our lives to the Lord, and then as we bring the kingdom of heaven to others, we offer the kingdom of heaven to somebody else, a lost person, someone who doesn't know Jesus. And then we pray his kingdom comes in our world as we live out those principles of the kingdom from the Holy Spirit, revealing those things to us through his word and the fruit of the Holy Spirit active in our lives. May his kingdom come fully in us. As we pray, his kingdom come fully into this world. Amen? Right now, his kingdom is advancing. With every person who makes the decision to follow Jesus, yes. But with every lie, every stronghold of the enemy that is torn down, his kingdom advances. Every time a dark place is lit up with the light of Christ, his kingdom advances. He is advancing his kingdom right now. It is coming to a place of fullness. It's not there yet. But we also pray his kingdom comes in its fullness. As the Apostle Peter said, of the coming kingdom, it would be a new heaven and a new earth, a place where righteousness dwells. Amen? Does righteousness dwell in our day today in this world? Let me just tell you, it doesn't. It doesn't, but someday it's going to, in the new heavens and the new earth. Well, there's not going to be any more corruption, no more impurity, no more immorality, no more death or violence, no more sorrow or crying or pain, no more surgeries, no more cancer, no more health issues, no more neglect, no more abuse. No more abuse. That's something to look forward to. That's something to pray for God to bring about. I used to say, God, I'm not ready for you to come back. I'm not ready for you to bring that kingdom in its fullness. I got things I want to do, Lord. I got things I want to experience. At one point it was I wanted to be a husband. I wanted to have a wife. At another point it was I wanted to have children. Now it's I want to see my children grow up and come to just into the fullness of all that God has prepared for them. I want to see that happen. I believe God understands that. But I don't believe that that's what holds God back from ushering in his kingdom in its fullness. Rather, I believe it's his heart for the lost in this world that he waits to return. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Can you hear his heart? Romans 11 and verse 25. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. What's a Gentile? Anyone who's not Jewish. And so as we pray, your kingdom come, we live out the Great Commission and go after the lost until the full number has come in. The full number. Do we know who they are? No? We got to tell everybody then. We got to tell everybody. Until every single person that makes the decision to follow Jesus Christ is in. And we don't know when that's going to be, but he does. And so between then and now, we got to keep telling people. We got to bring the kingdom. The main point today, praying your kingdom comes means salvation to the world. Praying your kingdom come means salvation to the world. Salvation for every individual, yes, but salvation also from the fallout of sin and all the schemes of the enemy, from all the corruption, all the evil, all the darkness, salvation into a new birth, a living hope where we get to see the parts and the pieces of the kingdom now, that those who carry the light of Jesus, knowing that what will eventually come in its fullness is what we can experience in part now. So pray to your Father, your kingdom come. Amen? Amen. As we close this time together today, will you stand with me? Jesus said, "My temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations." All nations. This is a house of prayer. We may all be Americans in here. We may all be considered white Caucasian. But think about your ancestry for a minute. How many different nations are represented in just you? God took time to make sure that he brought people from every nation together to bring about you. If any one of your ancestors were different than what they were, you would not be here today. God has orchestrated your life. He has brought you to this place. You're here today with that purpose. He has a purpose for you today to be in this place, to experience a time of prayer that we're just going to have right now. His house will be called a house of prayer. So we talked about the facets of the kingdom of heaven coming. And maybe some of the things that I mentioned today, there was something in there that you're like, oh, I can't wait till that comes. I want you just today, as we pray, just take turns, but pray it out loud. Either pray, your kingdom come, or pray, God, I'm looking forward to seeing this in your kingdom come. Or God, I want to see this come. I want to see a place where people can live in 100% forgiveness, complete forgiveness. I want to see that, God, that your kingdom, may your kingdom in my life be greater than anything else in my life. I want to see your influence in my life through the kingdom of God in me. Would you increase your influence so that that's what I work out of? That's the kingdom that I work out of. Whatever it is you feel like you need to pray today, we want to join together in prayer and pray that together. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can come to you. We can approach our amazing, awesome Heavenly Father. We can come into your presence, Lord, because you beckon us to come amidst all the other stuff that's going on right now in the kingdom of heaven. God, we enter in to the throne room right now. We come into your presence today. And we ask for these things, God, as we pray your kingdom come.